Good morning, everybody. Before I begin with the presentation, I saw a lot of you grabbing the little trinkets at the back. We've got coffee mugs, little keychain lighters, and these are not mini mouse pads. These are those little things that stick on your dashboard so things don't fall off, like a cell phone or something like that. So I've got some of those at the back, and when we're finished, I'll get them all out, and you can grab them. So anyway, thank you for having us. Really do appreciate the time. I want to introduce our company before we begin. This presentation is really about the role of a general contractor and engineer when a disaster occurs, but I do want to give you just a brief background. Restore One has been in business about 25 years now. We've got offices located in Orlando, Tampa, our corporate headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee, office in Memphis, and in Texas. We're a family-owned business that specializes in multi-family buildings, and been doing work here in Florida for years and years now and dealing with all the major hurricanes. So what I wanted to do is kind of just move forward, get into the presentation, and kind of take you back in time. To Hurricane Dolly. Most of you have forgotten Dolly by now, or weren't really paying much attention to it because of Fay and Hannah, Gustav and Ike all coming in quick succession. But I want to set this presentation up on what the roles are and what you should expect from a restoration company by taking a look at this particular storm. July 20th, I was in the office and watching the news, watching the Weather Channel, and little tropical storm Dolly was out in the ocean. Very very weak, 45 miles an hour, moving 15 miles an hour, expected landfall about 4 days. It was also, you can tell by the path, was expected to go over the Yucatan Peninsula, which was going to cause it obviously to lose more speed and strength. Nobody was worried about this storm. And it was, again, you can see the path here was either going to hit Mexico, possibly the southern tip of Texas. And I don't know if you're familiar with the geography at all, but that tip of Texas is basically a 300-mile sandbar. Nobody lives there, except for right there in the corner, South Padre Island around Brownsville. So the whole, when I got to the job site, I left that day, got there on the 20th and started working. When we got there, nobody else was there. Usually, as you know from hurricane situations and being in condos, you will have literally hundreds of restoration companies knocking on your door hoping to get work at some point. There was nobody on South Padre Island because it was not expected to be much of a storm at all. Fast forward 2 days. Location is now 230 miles from Brownsville. You see the cone is still pretty much the same. It's crossed the Yucatan but didn't lose speed because it just nipped the corner. It's now moving at 70 miles an hour and traveling at 10 miles per hour to the west-northwest. Anticipated landfall was now on the 23rd. I spent a lot of time talking to condo board members, property management companies. Nobody was really interested in our services. A lot of condos took the brochures, took the card and said, no thanks, we'll call you if we need you, but you know, there's not really going to be an issue. I actually had property management companies ask me to leave, calling us storm chasers and a few other bad names. But really didn't want any part of us. And it's very typical in a hurricane situation to have this because nobody expects them to get hit. And you'll see that in this little area here was the only populated area anywhere near there, so they felt pretty good about it. Restaurants were planning on having hurricane parties and stuff like that. So it was one of those situations. And then on the 23rd, storm hit. Overnight, it picked up speed, head dead toward South Padre, actually hit a dead on. Sustained winds at 115, wind gusts at 145. Actually, you know, we heard reports of 150, 160. Really a major storm. Large Category 2 hit. You know, it slowed down to 6 miles an hour and hung out over the that one area for about 11 hours and dumped 15 inches of rain. And that was actually footage that I took from the storm scene. The whole idea is when you start seeing these storms out in the Gulf and out in the Atlantic, nobody really worries. Most people don't think it's coming until it's very late. And the whole idea of preparation is key. This shot's a little misleading, primarily because nobody left. These were mostly tourists. There was no mandatory evacuation. This was mostly tourists. That was about a two-hour span that people were actually getting off the island. The aftermath of a Category 2 storm, as you know, can be devastating. Power was out, lines were down, huge amount of water, storm surge and rain. This building here I spent time at 2 days before. These are one of the groups that asked me to leave because they weren't going to need us. You can tell by the photo they had a small problem with the roof. In fact, the best shot is on the other side of the building where they lost five stories of curtain wall, about 50 feet wide. They're still not under or back up and running yet, and it's going to take some time for them. You can see the Rassen Hotel kind of mocking the storm. They clearly weren't worried about this thing either. And that sign came down very early on in the windstorm. Buildings like this were all over the island. I want to put this in context of a project that we're working on right now. Sunset Condominium Association was one of the first buildings I talked to after the storm. When I went in, I met with the property manager. He told me after the storm, I was there the very next day, he said, you know, listen, we had some minor damage. It's not that big of a deal. I've done an assessment. We sat down. I told him about our company, told him what he should expect from a restoration process, went through the entire thing. Eventually, he signed on with us. And his initial assessment of the damage at Sunset was that there were no visible penetrations, doors, windows, things like that. The roof had some minor damage. One surface was worse than the other. No power. There was minor damage to the grounds, major damage to the docks, and minor damage to the roof surfaces. So we went in. After they signed, the first thing I did is I brought the rest of the team in. Gary and Bonner Roofing came in, and we went through an assessment, a detailed assessment, to find out what the damage really was in that facility. What we found after digging was penetrations to windows, sliding doors, and roofs. 82 of the 86 units suffered water intrusion. Major damage to the fitness and conference facilities. Power wasn't restored for 8 days. We had major roof penetrations on all seven surfaces. When you look at this building, there's a roof here, 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 up top, and over there. There were seven different roof surfaces, all of which were damaged in a big way. Elevators were non-functioning, couldn't be repaired, major damage to the HVAC, major damage to the docks, lighting, fencing, tennis courts. I'll preach about this all day, about getting a team of people involved in this process. Restoration companies generally define themselves as people to suck up water, tear out drywall, and get out. Maybe do some drying and some cleaning. The purpose of today is the role of the general contractor. I'll redefine general contractor here in a minute. But the question is, if a Category 2 storm with no preparation does this kind of damage, at Sunset, he wasn't expecting that damage to exceed their deductible, their 1% deductible. I know that probably makes you sick here in Florida, doesn't it? Their 1% deductible. That project is going to exceed $10 million in damage. We have already submitted and received $5.2 million. Every penny we've sent in has been received. Insurance company agreed with every piece of work we've done in that place. But the question again, what if? What if a Category 3, Category 4, or 5, heaven forbid? You're very lucky here. Compared to most places in Florida, you receive very few hurricanes of any significant size compared to South Florida and other areas. So the role of a restoration company, what should you expect from us? What should you expect from a company coming in to take you from A to Z? Because the last thing you want are many vendors, many contracts, because that equals many problems and a problem with money. A restoration company is a few things. First off, emergency services. Temporary repairs, mitigation. By mitigation, I mean making sure the damage doesn't get any worse than it already is. Taking up water, taking out unsalvageable material, and so forth. Temporary repairs, obviously roof, HVAC, electrical, mechanical, things of that nature. Restoration company is also a GC, or should be. The restoration company needs to be able to come back and put you in. Remember, in most cases, if you get major damage, most people that want to suck up water and take out drywall want to do that for a couple reasons. Number one, it's easy. It's fast, and they get their money quickly, and they make the most money on that portion of the project. The most important thing you can look at is a company that's going to see you through from the start of a contract all the way through until you are complete, punch list done, money received, and everybody's happy. Project management is exactly that. Project management services are making sure that absolutely everybody and everything is taken care of from start to finish, including the reconstruction. It also includes a myriad of professional services, electrical, mechanical, structural, architects, and whatever else. It's all the organization of that and taking care of, taking care of all the things that are involved with that. The restoration process is probably 300-400 points long. I spent about 3 days trying to whittle this down to 25 points that were in some sort of sequence and very important. A lot of these things happen in different orders on different projects. A lot of these things happen in parallel with one another. So there is not one exact process. First and foremost, respond quickly with people and with equipment. You will find in hurricane situations that restoration companies are great for showing up with a pickup truck and a work authorization. And after that is, well, when can you get here? We can be there tomorrow. But they're not there with equipment. They're not there with the trained people. A company's got to be large enough and astute enough to make sure equipment is there that day or the next day with the right people. Secondly, another huge point for you to understand, and Harry said this very well about having a plan. The work authorization is absolutely key for y'all. From the standpoint of the thousands of companies that do what we do, or say they do what we do, the issue with the work authorization is it's full of fine print. It's usually 2 or 3 pages long, and you are freaking out, for lack of a better term, because you just got hit by a hurricane. You're running around trying to organize the people and the events of what need to happen. And that work authorization is the last thing you want to sign when you're stressed out. You need to look at that work authorization, you need to have a lawyer look at it, and it needs to be simple. Most of the fine print in these contracts are simply around a couple things. Number one, if something goes wrong, they're not at fault. And number two, if the insurance company doesn't pay the entire scope, then you're on the hook for it. There's usually a few pages that center around those two themes. So a word to the wise is to understand, and like Harry said, when you get involved with a company up front, that work authorization, you know it, you can sign it quickly, you already know what's in it, your lawyer's looked at it, and everything's going to be good. Review insurance policies and condo documents. If your restoration company or general contractor is unaware of your insurance policy, unaware of your condo docs, you're headed for a big problem. We had issues all over South Padre Island that we avoided because we got very involved with the insurance policies. Understand that there was a main policy up to $4 million. After that, there's an excess policy. The excess policy had clauses in it. 282-2 is a good example where that allowed the homeowners or the condo associate to assume responsibility and get payment from the insurance company for the interior as well. Generally speaking, as you know, the condo association is involved with the drywall out, and then you're responsible as a homeowner for the paint in. Well, this clause made a difference, and also went back and referred to the condo doc. So long story short is your restoration company needs to understand insurance policies very, very well and get into the condo docs. So from a process standpoint, those three things happen immediately, and then the work begins. The real hard work. Me, I've got the easy job. I'm in sales. I go get people to sign up. Guys in the back, they're the ones who do the hard work. So I'm going to ask Greg to come up here real quick, because the next part of this process is identifying and eliminating all the safety hazards. And we partner with the group. We don't do everything. What we do is we partner with the right people. And when this happens, after Greg and people like Gary from the engineering standpoint do the walkthrough with us, this is where Building EMT takes over. So I'll hand this off. Do we have to transfer this now? Okay. Sorry about that, guys. I didn't know we'd have the technical deal. Greg, do you want to introduce yourself as the technology happens?
No. All right.
Greg doesn't need a microphone, by the way.